Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine this. You're stranded on an island forever. But don't freak out because you get to bring one dish with you. Your desert island dish. What is it?
Every week, your hosts, Paul and Tegan, that's us.
Hello.
Hello. We'll ask this question. They'll chat with and torment a literal raft of guests on the island who'll dish up stories, gossip, and culinary secrets.
But they all have one big thing in common. They bloody love food.
Welcome to Dish Island.
Hello, my hungry, hungry caterpillars, and welcome to another episode of Dish. I'm Tegan.
I thought you were going
to
say hippos.
Hungry, hungry hippos?
Yeah, you know the board game where you basically just like chow down on plastic balls.
Oh, you see, no, I was going the storybook Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar. For hippos, I go, there's a hippopotamus on my roof eating cake. But it's all food, Paul, so it all works.
What hippopotamus? What did you read as a kid?
That is an iconic book, Paul, and you can educate yourself after this episode.
Okay.
Because it's a very special episode, Paul. This is the first time we've had a couple arrive on the island.
Except for us, you're forgetting. We are the first couple on the island and no one can take that away from us, not even our wonderful guests.
They are married, they totally like each other, and they chose to spend forever with each other. But here's the question I want to ask you, Paul. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, do I have a food thing that bothers you, that bugs you, that shits you up the wall?
Yeah.
Do I make you annoyed, baby? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Vegemite. Good God, do I hate Vegemite. Remember way back when Melissa was espousing the merits of, you know, Vegemite as a source of umami?
I do.
I'm like, look, Melissa, I'm never going to eat this crap because it tastes like something you'd find under a couch. It's absolutely rank.
Do you know what's amazing?
What?
The food thing that I was going to say that shits me about you
is
peanut butter.
I knew it.
I can't stand it.
You know what's weird is some people lately have been suggesting combining the two.
Well, some people deserve to... Actually, I was just going to say something.
Die?
I was going to say something so horrible. I wasn't going to say die.
Right.
But it's amazing. It's the condiments. We both don't enjoy each other's condiments. Because I feel like you eat peanut butter, then just come and breathe all over me. And it's disgusting.
Here's the thing. I made breakfast for you many years ago. And it sort of just became a habit. So
yeah.
If you want toast, you're like, Paul, can I have toast? And I have to make you the Vegemite. Now, Vegemite gets on everything, okay? It gets
you're
everywhere.
You're doing it wrong, Paul.
You're right. I should stop flailing when I'm making your breakfast. No, but it just... If you don't like a thing and you have to work with it, I wonder often how chefs deal with stuff. Like, let's say you are a vegan, right?
Yes.
And you have a major, major moral issue with making meat. And you have to get blood on you when you're kind of cutting up a rare steak or doing whatever. How do you sort of negotiate your way out of that?
I mean... Look, that's a fascinating question. I would go so far as to say that they're in the wrong career.
Okay.
That would be like a copywriter going, I just can't stand vowels. Like it's pretty vital that you incorporate this into your practice. But then again, I mean, you could just open up a vegan restaurant and do wonderfully at that.
What I like though, Tegan, is that even though we don't like each other's condiments, we like each other very much and we work together very well. And so do our guests today.
That is another delightful segue. You've been doing some really wonderful segues lately, Paul.
I spend 6 days planning them. I make them sound spontaneous. It destroys me. Anyway.
You've got 14 teleprompters propped up around you.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're for. Well, our guests this week, as mentioned, are an absolute power couple. One is a children's book author. One is a seasoned improviser. And as a duo, they stole the nation's hearts each week on season one of Lego Masters. They even had a Lego-themed wedding. Please welcome Jimmy and Maddie. Jimmy, Maddie, welcome to Dish Island. One of the first things that we ask our guests is a very important question, and that is, how did you get to the island today?
Oh.
Oh, very good question,
Paul.
Well,
firstly, thank you for having us. Secondly, I think it's pretty obvious. You guys have met Maddie. You know what her energy's like.
Mm-hmm.
People listening, you might be aware of her publicly. Clearly, Maddie murdered someone.
I was not expecting
that. That is exactly what happened.
I am being the good husband and going off the grid with her.
Yeah,
rather than being the guy who's like, I don't know where she is. I'm going to...
Fleeing the law, officially.
What was that film with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz? And they were like on an island.
Tom Cruise?
What?
I don't think that film exists, Jimmy.
I think that's like the Mandela effect on Speed.
There's definitely a movie where he's like, they're on an island and she wakes up and he's a spy and...
Look, there's one with Tom Hanks and it's called Castaway, but I don't think...
That's a ball.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz. Cameron Diaz did play Wilson, okay?
Oh my God, I didn't know.
She's an incredible actress. Yeah. I digress. Maddie killed someone.
I did. Please don't tell anyone, guys. I know this is a public podcast, but no one tell anyone. It's a secret.
Can I delve into this moment? I mean, I know we all got pretty tense during lockdown.
Hang on, do you want to know how or why? What's your first question?
Okay. This is like some reverse Cluedo sort of mix up.
Yeah, great.
Okay, in what room, and was it with the wrench?
It was with the candlestick.
Wow. Candlestick.
You've got to be a really good murderer to kill someone with a candlestick.
It's true. And look, I'm not gonna say exactly who it was, but we've been trying to get our lights fixed in our living room for a very long time, and the electrician never showed. And he never will.
Yeah. Hang on. So let me get this straight. You need your lights fixed. The electrician takes maybe a bit too long to get there. He finally gets there, and then you kill him. Did you kill him after he fixed the lights at least?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. I love that you did it so symbolically. You killed him with the medium that was used previous to lights.
Tradies
out
there.
You're like a Luddite.
I'm just putting it out there. Tradies, don't keep me waiting. there will be issues.
Wow.
This just goes against all the colour and brightness and joie de vivre of your Instagram account. I'm so confused.
So what other industries have you worked your way through with your kind of murderous rage? So someone brings you food late and you wait till the food arrives and then kill them with a frying pan, right?
Those poor Uber Eats. They've all like started boycotting our house, guys,
you know,
through lockdown.
It's funny, during lockdown in Brunswick, that's where we live, we have a massive shortage of Uber Eats drivers. Yeah. And now I know why.
Maybe that's why. They know. They've caught on to my evil dark plan.
Well, this is actually the most fantastic segue, which is that during lockdown, you guys were living together. Did your food world change?
It's been a time, hasn't it, Jimmy? We have been living together with our little dog, Chewy, who's running around in the background.
And I definitely got a test and it came back negative. Mm-hmm. But very early into COVID, I lost my taste for about a month and a half.
Yeah.
And you know that hypothetical of, you know, what sense would you like to lose first? Mm. And everyone goes, oh, well, you know, sight and hearing is pretty important. Touch for fire. Could probably get around without taste. Oh, boy.
Jimmy was one sad little kid, guys.
It just takes the joy out of everything.
Yeah. You were not happy. And so, yeah, it was really weird because we've kind of been reflecting on it since. And we're like, did you have COVID? Because that's kind of apparently one of the signs. Yeah.
But I had no other symptoms and my doctor, and I went and got a test and I didn't have it, but I was tasteless and it was so
shit. You were very
shit.
Sad.
It was awful. Yeah.
So, okay, first of all, I've got two questions. If it wasn't COVID, have they given you any idea what it was so you can make sure this never happens again?
I'm talking of like a large magnet or something.
Yes. Yeah, so what of it? I love hanging with magnets.
Actually, no, first of all, just answer that one. First go with that one.
Like my theory as to what it was?
Yeah.
Well, I won't name the pub because they're lovely. But at the start of Brunswick's, you know, like one of those inner city Melbourne suburbs that has almost a pub on every corner. If not, there's like a renovated house that used to be a pub. So there's a lot of pubs. And there was a pub at the very start of lockdown that was like, oh, no. I got to get rid of all my beer. So they were like selling growlers really cheaply. And I drank a lot of those growlers. And I have a funny feeling maybe the pipes had some weird chemical in them. Because I definitely drank from that pub. I don't even know if it's a pub. It's probably just a weird guy.
It's just someone's backyard.
So that's my theory. Like that was the weird kind of variable that it could have been.
It came back eventually, but look, I can't. you should, you know, explain how it was. But you were sort of saying everything tasted like salt, wasn't it?
Well, it was weird because all my taste buds were gone, and then slowly they started to grow back, or whatever taste buds do.
Yeah.
And the first receptors that were really obvious were the salt receptors, so I could only taste salt in things.
Yes.
So weird. I mean, because you know when Daredevil lost his, you know, sight and every other sense became heightened. Did you experience that? Did you kind of...
Suddenly I could just see like kilometers away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could just see the fine hairs on flies. I could hear operas in Italy. So it was great, except I was still cranky about not having any
taste. He was very grumpy, guys. Look, I'm just putting it out there. You were pretty, pretty pissed off.
And at first I tried to fix it by just eating more food.
Yeah.
To just try and break it. But break the barrier. It didn't work.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I've only spoken to one other person who's ever lost their sense of taste.
Mm.
And they were very sad and very grumpy as well. But they realized, I think theirs was gone forever though. They'd actually lost it because of an injury.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was actually really horrible for this poor person. But they started eating for texture more than taste as they...
Mm. Wow.
You know, as they became acquainted, became to accept this new situation. And texture was what they wanted. But what was interesting is that meant they were eating lots of chips and very heavily fried foods.
Anything crunchy. Basically.
Anything crunchy. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Just reams of Velcro.
Yeah.
Right. And being.
We wouldn't even know, right?
Raking your teeth across sandpaper. You know?
I thought it was odd because I figured that if you lose taste, you might as well just be the healthiest person on earth. Because if you're not getting a kick
you're
out
not
of flavor,
taste it. Yes.
Like eat the damn kale.
Sounds like a Luke McGregor sodium flavor block.
Almost.
That's so interesting. That's a really good point, Tease. Because I think, if they want crunchy, kale, lettuce, what are those sprouty things? They're all crunchy sort of healthy thing options. So you didn't really go down the healthy route, though.
Yeah, surprise, I don't eat for health.
No.
That's probably the last thing I think about. If it's a side product, I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, that's nice.
You really tried to push through. You did. We bought like multiple boxes of Paddle Pops. I don't know why. And you were just eating a lot of those to like hope that the taste would come
back. Oh, and a frosty fruit?
Yeah.
That tasted like bitter?
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful.
Oh, it was a sad time, guys.
But then it went away and we did get right into our food. So much food.
Mm.
Who is the cook between the two of you? Or are you both pretty kind of active in the kitchen?
Oh, no. It is very one-sided in this household, Paul. And it's not me. I can't cook for shit.
Oh, no. You can. You can't get into the HelloFresh, almost like Lego box meals.
I need I need paint by numbers when it comes to the kitchen. I'm just not great at it. And I don't know whether it's just because... It doesn't spark the joy, as Marie Kondo would say. Cooking just doesn't – I don't get – I love eating it, don't get me wrong, but I would pick doing the dishes over cooking.
Oh, God.
10 times
what
over.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. Well, this is why Jimmy and I work so well together, because he makes a shit ton of mess in the kitchen and I do the cleanup. But, yeah, Jimmy is definitely the cook in our house.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's like being a wizard. A very low stakes wizard.
No, it is. You do. I completely get where you're coming from, Jimmy. We just, after weeks of talking about it, finally put our new ice cream maker to use.
Oh, wow.
And made ice cream. And it's right. I feel magical. I feel like I have all these powers. It's like, I can make whatever ice cream I want.
That's amazing.
I'd love it if you just went up to a small child and went, hey, you like ice cream? I've got unlimited supply. Sucked in and just ran away.
That's a great way to get on a watch list.
Actually, yeah.
Hey, kid, you want some ice cream?
Yeah. Didn't think that one through.
I completely agree, though. It is. It's like this magical superpower once you realize you can harness it. Mm. But Maddie, so do you love food less? Is that what I'm getting here?
No, I think for me, I'm just trying to think of probably the reason why. It's a lot of mess. There's a lot of mess. I don't know if and it's interesting because we were listening to the Luke McGregor episode the other day. Mm. I love the idea. If I could just, same thing. If a block of some kind of sustenance just like popped in front of me and that could keep me going for the rest of my life healthily, I'd probably go down that route too. Like I love the taste of it, but the whole getting to the point of having a delicious meal in front of me, I can't be bothered. And that's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, which is why we've should have invested in a lot of Uber Eats, Deliveroo
shares.
Yeah,
we should have done that
at the start of 2020.
Yeah. Because just having it arrive at my doorstep, oh, heaven. But the actual process of getting, making it from scratch, I just don't get a kick out of it. But you do, Jimmy. You love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
But you both make things kind of, I mean, making things is kind of what you're known for. You mentioned blocks before, Maddie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lego is sort of, I mean, you're basically professional Lego builders, right? Has it been weird for you during lockdown doing something that you love doing for fun as a job? Because we have started to talk about food and do food. Mm-hmm. It's gone from like a passion project to something that we have to do for work. Mm-hmm. And it's changed our relationship with it in some interesting ways.
Oh, yeah.
How has building Lego for work changed your relationship to it?
It's so interesting you say this. We were literally talking about this before we jumped on the podcast. But yeah, it's funny. It's so that it's like the minute you sort of jobify, is that a word? The minute you jobify something that you love, it's sort of, I definitely think, takes away an element of the joy there.
I think originally we did Lego as, I think our brains probably think quite similarly to yours. You know, they're always moving quite fast. We're creative people. We're quite, we're both diagnosed with OCD and ADHD. I have ADHD. So our brains are always going around really fast. Mm-hmm. And Lego is one of those beautiful practices like drawing or animating where or rock climbing or whatever you want to do. It gives your focus 100% to that because you have to be thinking creatively and then also strategically.
Well, it's quite meditative.
That was lovely. And we used to listen to music and build, you know, just whenever. And then suddenly going on Lego Masters, which was awesome, it was suddenly like, everyone's watching.
Yeah.
And you've got to do it well.
There is time limits. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does definitely become a little bit more of a stressful endeavor. But in saying that too, like, we still really enjoy building.
Well, yeah, we love it.
But yeah, there's certainly an element of like, oh, this is a bit of a task now. This is a little bit of a little bit.
And just like comedy, there's a Lego scene as well, and there's Lego fans, and there's Lego politics, and it's funny that like such a joyful toy, people get so serious
about it. Yeah, it's full on.
And we like playing with all sorts of toys. Oh, that sounded weird.
That's the sound bite right there.
Yeah. Oh, exclusive. So we love, you know, action figures, Lego. I'm obsessed with Star Wars. And sometimes we play with, dare I say it, blocks that aren't Lego, and you should see the hate mail we've received.
Oh, yeah, we really have. We've been like pommeled by the online trolls when we've used like non-Lego branded building blocks. And
you bloody sellout. You're like, do you work for Lego?
Yeah,
are you some kind of detective? Yeah, it's crazy.
I find this so fascinating that there is this, inner world of Lego politics, and I've got to be honest, I'm picturing a headquarters, and it's Lego.
It's made of Lego.
That's pretty wild.
The headquarters is in someone's basement, digging, and there's a lot of middle-aged men that live with their mothers.
And the chairs are very uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're made of Lego.
Yeah, I just think there's in the construction industry, you know, the ties the mob has with the construction industry. This is like that. It is a construction industry.
Definitely.
And they have little Lego construction heads. This is so cute. Oh, God.
They're listening to this now, and we've made it a whole much worse.
I know, we really have. We're throwing ourselves in the deep end now.
The thing is, even with this, because, you know, as Paul said, you went on Lego Masters, and now you guys are just synonymous with the Lego brand in so many ways. But you have been doing so many other things during the past couple of years, including Maddie. You brought out a book, and it is just one of the most appropriate things to talk about on a food podcast. It is about your relationship with food. Can you tell us a little bit about when Anna came to stay?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you very much, Teeks, for that lovely little segue. I did release a book. Going back sort of the start of this year, good old COVID sort of prevented us from having any kind of launch. But look, the beauty of online and social media has been great, because I have been able to sort of share it as far and wide as I sort of possibly can in the current situation. But yeah, this is a book I sort of wrote going back probably 3 or 4 years ago now. It's sort of been quite a while in the pipeline.
Who would have thought books take a really long time to develop?
Who would have thought? But yeah, look, it's called When Anna Came to Stay, and the sort of the loose premise is it's sort of centered around the protagonist, a young character called May, who is a little girl, and, you know, life just throws her a few curveballs, and she sort of, you know, has to change schools, and things are feeling a little bit out of her control, and And all of a sudden, this character called Anna comes to stay to sort of show her how to take control of her life and how to sort of feel good about herself. Anna is, of course, a metaphor for an eating disorder or toxic thoughts. It could be seen as sort of anxiety or depression as well. And how this character Anna sort of takes over May's life and actually makes her feel quite terrible. And yeah, then it's of course May sort of having to learn to build up the courage and strength to sort of say goodbye to her. Again, Anna's sort of the inner voice of May and sort of letting her go so she can actually live her life freely and happily again. So yeah, it's a slightly sort of, I suppose, more serious topic, but it's told like in a really childlike way. So it's sort of targeted at that sort of 8 to 12 age demographic.
It's very Dr. Seussical.
Yeah, yes. Written in sort of rhyming couplets. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yeah, that real sort of Dr. Seuss sort of style and sort of beautiful imagery by a lovely illustrator from Brisbane called Siobhan Skipworth. And yeah, so it's sort of told for children to sort of, I suppose, hopefully the idea is to get them to sort of start having that conversation if they're having thoughts like that themselves with their family, their loved ones, or perhaps a teacher. So yeah, so personally, it's very kind of much based on my life story. I sort of started developing an eating disorder at the age of 8, which is quite young, and it didn't sort of fully sort of develop into a, you know, hospitalization sort of situation until I was 16. So it was a very much a slow progression. But I kind of wrote this book in the hopes that if it could potentially stop someone, a young child, sort of going down that path as well early on and kind of you know, get in there early, then yeah, that's kind of my job done.
What's been lovely as well as a number one fan and bystander, and we're all creative people here, sometimes you put stuff out into the world and you're like, did anyone see that thing?
Yeah.
Even, and you spend a lot of money and time and you know, sweat and tears. But what's been so lovely is people getting back to you about their children reading it. And
and that's been, I think, the highlight. Like, for me, it was never like a money making, oh, let's try and sell 1,000,000,000 copies.
What?
And
no.
It was
definitely gonna get hair plugs.
It was definitely like, you know, if this could just help one kid, like, I'll be totally stoked. And it's actually, yeah, I've been really quite overwhelmed with the amount of people that have reached out sort of personally to say, look, I've bought this book for my child or my cousin or my nephew or niece or whatever it may be, and you know, it's really helped them. It's interesting, I do a lot of work for the Butterfly Foundation as well, which is an eating disorder charity here in Australia, and they've done a whole lot of research, and the stats have sort of come out over the last couple of years, particularly during lockdown being such a stressful time for everyone. The prevalence of eating disorders and particularly in young people has really kind of risen in this period. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it. Everyone's, you know, living in this just crazy world where things are completely out of control. And when you don't have your sort of your friends to sort of bounce off or your normal everyday distractions, things like eating disorders and anxiety and depression can really arise in this time. So, you know, as awful as this, you know, time has been and not being able to sort of release the book how I sort of wished, it's sort of come at a good time as well in a weird way. So I'm sort of hoping it can kind of, you know, get into the right hands. Yeah. But I reached out to Fergie, good old Fergie. I'm not talking
not Fergie.
Not Fergalicious, but the Duchess of York.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's got a little channel called Storytime with Fergie and Friends, and I have sent her a copy. So hilariously, I posted my book off a couple of weeks ago too. I had like the Buckingham Palace address, which was so
oh my
hilarious.
Gosh.
And sending up, so it only arrived like a couple of days ago. So I'm hoping, you know, maybe she will read
maybe you'll
it
hear some
point.
Kind of royal horn.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
It has arrived.
No, Jimmy, the royal horn means war has been called.
You've sent us too many books. Also, Maddie has sort of reached, I think this is some kind of children's author notoriety. Mm. Someone sent a photo to us of a child dressed up as your book's character for book week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was so cute.
I think that's the true sign that you've made it, right?
I know. And it was a gorgeous little girl, and she was dressed up as May, and then her sister was dressed up as Wally, like, where's Wally? And I was like, oh, man, oh. I've made it. I've made it.
You are up there with true legends exactly. if you're right there beside Wally. That's so exciting. And
yeah,
I just think
it's lovely.
It's so lovely to hear somebody doing something that's clearly just intended to help. I mean, it really is going to help a lot of people. Mm. I think it's so wonderful. And everybody listening, you should just buy the book. Just buy the book. Oh, just do it. In this moment, you're going to be thinking about it and then you're going to forget it in 3 minutes' time. So grab your phone right now. And where can they buy the book, Maddie?
Oh, thanks, Teagues. Yeah, yes. So it's, you know, very easily purchased online over my website. So I've got like a link tree attached to my Instagram, which is just Maddie Tyres, or you can just go to maddietyres.com and you can purchase it there. It's all through my publisher, Interactive Publishing.
One thing I noticed that I've got in common with you folks is that during lockdown, video games have apparently been a bit of a kind of, what's the word? Like a sanctuary kind of mentally.
Oh, it's
like
yeah.
Yeah. And you've been streaming a fair bit. And Jimmy, I noticed you've been playing a bit of Sea of Thieves. How much of a role in these games? Because I always enjoy seeing how different game developers render food and drink in the game, and whether there's a cooking system or not. I find it interesting that some games really make food seem delicious to the point where I will get up, leave the computer, and have to grab something from the kitchen.
Absolutely.
And I mean, Sea of Thieves is really great, and it's very cartoony, and there's just big hunks of fresh fruit, and there's meat that you can practically smell, and there's just frothy
Megalodon
ale.
Steaks.
Yes. you get achievements for cooking this stuff just right. I mean, they really encourage the cooking process. Now,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've burnt a few pieces of fine fish in that game. It's tough.
What video game food do you think has made you the hungriest?
Oh, wow.
Oh, can I answer this one for me?
Yes, please.
Oh my gosh.
I think you're going to say the same thing as I.
Are you going to say Overcooked?
Yeah.
Yes. So Jimmy and I have been playing a lot of Overcooked. So I don't know if you guys have experienced it. It is a game that they sort of warn it could break up marriages. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know whether you want to try it. It's quite stressful.
Is this the one when you're in a kitchen and people are yelling at you?
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, I hate this
people,
one.
Those people are real life people.
Exactly.
They're the people you're playing with, like your wife or yourself yelling at your wife.
But we love it. We've been playing, we've just downloaded the Overcooked 2 and it's great. Like, so this one, you're sort of predominantly based in a sushi kitchen. So you're making sashimi and delicious sushi as the sort of the orders come through. So it gets sort of obviously faster and faster and things sort of start burning. But that
is
one kitchen.
It's 1,000 times more stressful than real cooking.
Yeah. Which is funny because I actually quite like cooking in that virtual kitchen, which I don't usually, I would never sort of say.
This is what I was going to say. It's so strange. Yeah, I can't stand the game.
Maddie, if there's like something you can win, suddenly Maddie's like grips you by the arm and goes, we're doing this.
Yeah, maybe. If
it was the same with like so with Overcooked, you're like, I've got to get the hot tips. Because if you get the food out quicker, you get like bonus tips, which, you know, it sounds like a great industry to work in. And in Lego Masters as well. I remember like when we first went in, we were just like, oh, we're just crazy kids from Brunswick. We're just happy-go-lucky. We're not emotionally invested in this. And then after a couple of episodes, Maddie's like, we're going to win this.
Yeah. And I was bawling after the first episode as well. So, yeah, maybe that's what it is, Teagues. Maybe I need some kind of incentive at the end of cooking in the kitchen.
Got a gamify.
Although, like, yeah, I need a gamify. Although, you know, they say just having the meal at the end is the reward. I don't know. Maybe I need some kind of, like, other achievement to sort of, you know, to get me back in the real kitchen.
Cute puppies.
Yeah, I'm at the very least feeling like we should forward this episode to Channel 10. So the next series of Celebrity MasterChef, Maddie, you are on their list. Because I feel like this could be just a whole other evolution in your television career. But can I ask one other thing I really enjoy hearing? Because we've had a lot of people on the show who have been on various reality television shows, whether it's SAS, MasterChef,
Great Australian Bake Off.
Bake Off, I'm Just
Drag
Alone,
Race. Yep.
You know, all sorts of things. And there is always the stuff that we get to see as the audience, which is polished and fantastic and wonderful. And then everybody's always got some great behind the scenes story where they're like, you won't believe what went down. Do you have your reality television holy shit this will blow our mind sort of story, and it's okay if you don't.
Hang on, I've just got to check when the NDA finishes. Yeah, no, we're good. We're out of the time period.
No, look, absolutely. Jimmy and I were so nervous. Obviously, we were on the first season of Lego Masters, so the show had never kind of, I suppose, been produced in the way it had here in Australia. So the previous series had come out in the UK, and it was a very different format. So the way, you know, obviously having Hamish as the judge, it was a very different sort of vibe. And we had no idea what to expect before it kind of came out. And obviously you don't know what's going to stay in the cut, like you don't know what's going to kind of be sort of left out. And there was a little bit of worry there, like, because, you know, we did have a few little heated arguments.
Well, that's what's interesting about doing Twitch with you now is it's just an uncut couple of hours making Lego, and it's very hard to hide the frustration of when you literally, you know, make a whole Lego boat out of Technic and then realize you've put the wrong piece in. Early in one of the first steps, and it's locked in there like eight ways. You have to rip this thing apart to get it out. Mm. And it's very hard to kind of just get over that stress.
Yeah, totally.
But they made us look so much better.
Yeah, they actually did. They really did.
We had so many little squabbles, and they were so nice
to us. They were very kind, very generous with their edits.
And sometimes we'd make mistakes, and I was like, oh, God, this is going to make me look like the biggest idiot in front of all this Lego mafia. Yeah. And sometimes they'd just brush over it. And not to make us look good, I think, because what we realised is we're only living, you know, one episode, for example, is filmed over a week to do everything. We're only living our version of that week. There's seven other versions of that week that we were totally unaware of because we were so stressed and in our zone.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool to see those other stories.
What else was going on at the same time? Eventuate. And I think that's where it was sort of a bonus for us, because I think a lot of way more sort of dramatic things were going on around us, so our stuff was just left out. So I think it was kind of a win in that way.
I did, like, get grumpy at another contestant. I won't say who it was, but one of them came up to us off air and went, I just want you to know that Maddie's roots are showing. And if my wife was on television, I know what I'd do. And I just went,
oh my God,
fuck. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Like, yeah, what are you gonna, like, I'd dye the roots while she's sleeping.
Yeah. Shh. Just keep sleeping. Just keep sleeping. This peroxide might burn.
Yeah, so funny. But look, apart from, you know, a couple of little in-house squabbles, it was a really positive experience.
It was amazing.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
We had a really good time.
Hot little, like, a little bit of a TMZ too hot for TV comment. So many people fart in the brick room.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you mean? Is this a nervous fart thing?
Oh, I think it was to begin with. Yeah. But then over the weeks when we just got more and more comfortable with
people the process. People would just go in there and let rip. And it was kind of like, it's called the brick pit. But after a while, we're calling it the shit pit because it was just horrible.
It was so stinky.
I know. It was like, good way to like put people off building is just like make them vomit. But
but it's weird. Now, whenever I fart, I want to build Lego. Yeah.
I just love the idea of just a bunch of contestants, high stakes music, Hamish hovering over you, and everyone's eyes are red, like burning, tears running down the sheet. Why are they crying? It's because there's sulfur in the air. Oh, man.
Wow, they're nothing, really emotional.
Nothing unites like farts, really. But look, you mentioned there being little squabbles, and look, I'm loath to trigger one right now, but we've never had a couple on Dish Island before.
No, you're our first.
And this, you're our first.
And it'll be the first couple you break up.
Yeah.
Well, on that point, typically speaking, we let the person who's on the island select a desert island dish, the one dish they can bring with them. And because there's two of you, and because we kind of lack a bit of reality show friction, we're going to make you pick one.
Great. Ooh, I love this.
So you got to agree on one.
Well,
now,
first I've got to know, did you guys both bring separate desert island dishes? Maybe you're already thinking as a, you know, gorgeous husband and wife and, you know, two minds became one anyway, but I doubt it.
No. We did pack separately, but I'm quite happy to throw my thing overboard.
I'm quite happy for you to throw your thing overboard too. Your thing sucks.
Well, can I? All right, then first I want to know what your thing was, Maddie. What was your desert island dish going to be?
I know this sounds so lame, guys, and like I apologize because I know how, you know,
just
you guys are so
lameness.
Culinary advanced and amazing, the two of you, but I was literally gonna bring a kilo tub of Yumi's hummus and a bag of carrots. And I know that sounds so terribly depressing, but it's what I could eat. I literally eat it every day. I go through about a kilo a week of hummus. Like, I know that's probably causing its own issues, but that was what I was going to bring. Jimmy, you're probably not so on board with that.
Oh, really? How can you tell?
But I mean, to throw it overboard.
There's nothing wrong with hummus and carrot sticks. It is a noble snack.
It is, but I like the idea that, you know how you go to prison. I mean, you might not know what it's like to go to prison.
Well, you will soon.
You will soon. So you know how you get a cake and it's from your mother-in-law and she's put like a bandsaw in the cake? Is this bucket of hummus holding like a gun or a grappling hook or something to help you escape?
It's a big bucket.
Yeah, it's got like a shiv inside. Like, I'm ready to go, guys. I'm ready to go. If there's any other islanders out there that are like, you know, going to threaten Jimmy and I,
well,
just beware
of
the hummus knife.
You don't even need a knife. You could probably fashion some kind of weapon out of hummus.
True. But look, I'm happy to throw the hummus overboard, use it as an anchor if we wish. But Jimmy, what
I see it more as like burly. Or like shark
I just imagine somebody's feet in the hummus and Maddie throwing them overboard, sinking straight to the bottom.
Oh my God. There you go. It's another idea. Put that one in the bank.
You say something over like, he just went for a dip.
Yay.
I don't know if this is allowed, but I would like to either bring a whole cart from a Yum Cha lunch service or dumplings, if that's
just
too much.
Just dumplings.
I love Yum Cha.
Regarding the Yum Cha, so Yum Cha is a delicate art, right? First of all, you got to sit next to the door so that you get first
dip. That's why Yum Cha makes me anxious, actually.
Yeah, but you know there's that one Yum Cha cart, the bung one, that's just like tripe and it just keeps doing the loop and no one wants it. And then there's, but what I'm saying is Yum Cha carts don't have a variety of dishes. Sometimes they do, but which, can you be specific as to what's on
the cart?
Absolutely,
I could. It's definitely the steamed pork buns,
prawn dumplings. Yep.
Mm. Oh, prawn dumpling, gorgeous.
And those beautiful, this is such a white ass thing for me to say, but they're called Asian greens.
Asian greens.
Yeah.
And so it's like they've got like oyster sauce on them.
Yeah, it's like steamed broccolini stems with like a gooey brown sauce.
Yes.
And it's just you like eat them to try yourself. And cut through the fat of the breads and the fats and the fatty meat fat. Yes.
And they're always really expensive because they know that we want to buy them to justify our poor choices for the rest of the food.
Yeah, it's always like $19
or
something.
It's always really expensive.
Yes, you're right. I've never thought about the price.
It's so expensive.
Chinese broccoli. No, it is beautiful. I love, Jimmy, I'm actually really on board with this. I don't know why you thought I would not be. I'm happy for the Yum Cha cart.
She's sharpening the candle, guys.
But there is something I really dig about the guy that you guys just walking onto an island literally with a trolley of food. I don't know, Paul. Are we going to let the trolley pass?
I have one. Okay. I've consulted the fine print, and I think that we can allow it, but on this condition.
Okay.
Every single Yum Cha cart, even if it's full of stuff, always has one thing that no one orders. Now, you've just filled this magical what-if cart with things you like, so you're going to have to put one thing on there, and it's going to have to comprise a third of the cart's real estate.
Whoa.
And you have to have some every time you eat Yum Cha, because, let's be fair, we can't just fill a dream cart. We said no to Celia's, to Celia's corner store, so...
Yeah, her bakery, her country bakery.
Now, what's the thing... Yeah, she wanted
wanted a whole country bakery. Yeah. It's never going to happen.
No.
That's a big ask.
Probably
that's
like,
a big ask.
Tripe, I'm pretty adventurous, and I don't mind tripe. It's just the texture. I haven't seen my parents for 2 years, and I don't think I've had Yum Cha for 2 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but which one are you more excited about? Be honest.
Yum Cha. Oh,
just next time you see your parents, make sure you stamp the card, all right?
Well, this is good, Paul. I feel like this is, once again, a very unexpected dish on our island because it has wheels primarily.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to drag in the sand, isn't it?
It's really
going
to have issues.
And you won't be able to hide. We're always going to know where you are because it's just going to be these little trolley tracks everywhere you go on the island.
But we might want that might just be Maddie luring people in.
True. Guys, I'm actually thinking this is actually doubling as we've got this trolley. It could be kind of used as almost like a little shelter as well.
How big are you imagining the trolley?
I'm sleeping on the trolley, mate. You can sleep under
that
the palm tree.
Yeah.
Well, they were an absolute delight. And Tegan, they've got me thinking about something. What is the least palatable thing you've ever eaten off a Yum Cha trolley?
I'm going to say something, Paul, and I don't know if you know this about me. Mm. I guess, given that this has been a couple's episode, it's interesting that you're going to learn something about your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been to Yamcha once, and it was with your parents when we went with them.
Really?
Yeah, I've only ever been to Yamcha once. It was just one of those things that my family never went to Yamcha. So I went to Yamcha one time in Sydney with your parents.
Yeah.
Your dad kind of unhinged his jaw and would eat entire trolleys at a time, which is very appropriate given Jimmy and Maddie's food, Desert Island Dish. Mm. But no, I've actually never eaten anything bad off a Yamcha trolley. And no matter what little plate I whipped off that thing, whether it was chicken's feet or dumplings, I was pretty happy. Because it was people pushing little plates of food around a restaurant. Like, it was basically heaven for me.
Would it please you if I built a cart or a trolley and just brought your dinner to you in very small servings?
I'd love that.
Yeah, and I'll get you to stamp a little card and, you know, it'll be fun. Yeah.
Oh my God. Just to wrap up this episode, we've got a Lego Hogwarts Express. Why don't you actually turn that into kind of a miniature sushi train for me as well? So have that going around the table.
Oh, I see.
And now, then you can trolley push things.
Now you want the Lego in the house.
Now I want the Lego in the house because it's going to bring me food.
Yep.
You didn't brainstorm that earlier, Paul. This is your fault.
You're absolutely right. Well, we've got a neat solution to the Lego problem solved. Thank you so much to everyone for joining us on another episode of Dish Island. We've had an absolute blast and we hope you have too. Don't forget to head across to our socials on Instagram at Dish Island.
And if you know any kids, which some of you might do, Christmas is coming up, get Maddie's book. You know, I think it's just one of those things you should probably have in the house. It sounds like a really good idea, so do it. Do it now. Do it now, everyone. Bon appetit. There's your outro for you. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Dish Island.
Dish Island is a proud member of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.